Hello there. This episode is sponsored by Goals. Remember to stay on target when reaching for your goals. I guarantee it'll give you a new hope. If you like what you hear, please subscribe, leave a review, and without further ado, here's the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Padawan Limited, a Star Wars Limited trading card game podcast. I'm Gil, joined by Corey and Rob. How are you guys doing?
Ahoy.
Hey.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Well, I love seeing new cards, so... Got a lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of new cards. It's going to be, we're going to be hitting it hard. Not in this podcast necessarily, not right now, not for this episode,
right.
We will talk about it
in general.
In the future.
Well, you had a video.
I did have a video. I just, you know, there's a lot of like card review, like videos out there, but like no one really talks, at least from what I've been watching, no one actually like gives it like a grade. And like, what are your reasonings behind it? So I thought it, especially for newer players, like it would
definitely
be a good opportunity to like a learning experience. Like, this is what, at least what I'm thinking about. And maybe you agree with me, maybe you don't, but you know, good stimulation for conversation, I think.
It's very informative and it gives people an easy, like relatable way to figure out, is this a good card or a bad card? So I do like that, especially when I'm new to a game or new to a system or new to anything like, you know, like this.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate that. But for this conversation, I actually want to go in a different direction. Like, this is also something that I don't really see a lot of other videos do. Like, a lot of videos are really focusing on like competitive play. Nothing wrong with that. Obviously, if you enjoy competition, like do it. But there's so much more to the game, and you know, we've had this theme for the last couple of weeks of just like growth. Like, what is your identity with this game? What are you trying to do? How do you grow the community, right? Like, there's all these other aspects, because if you don't do that, then a game dies.
Yep.
And today, I want us to talk about like the state of the collection.
Nice.
Right? I think that's important, because people really focus on cards, but there's actually a lot of other stuff you could potentially collect for SWU. So, but for now, let's just talk about cards in general. And so where we are with our collections, if you even collect. Corey, I know you collect, so I'm going to actually start with Rob today and talk about, like, so Rob,
yeah.
Where are you with your collection, if you collect, or what you're trying to do?
I'm not a huge collector when it comes to this, but I am, insofar as I like to have, you know, a play set for each, you know, of each card. So I've reached those goals with each of mine, with each of the sets so far. You know, I've got play sets of legendaries. I've got play sets of all the rares and commons and things like that at this point. I actually am short a few legendaries from like Shadows and like a couple, but none of the ones that are like commonly played. So I think I only have like one Chancellor Palpatine. I have like, you know, two Rule With Respects, those types of things. But those aren't cards that we typically see a lot of. So I haven't really gone out of my way to try and complete those. Aside from that, like, there has been a little bit of a bug from me to kind of like start to hyperspace out my decks. And so like the common things that I do now, I've been actually fairly lucky in some of my hyperspace pulls. So like, for example, as you may have heard over the last like however many podcasts we've been doing, I'm running, you know, Jango Tarkin Town. So I've actually been pretty lucky in terms of the hyperspaces that I've pulled, because they've all had applicability within Jango Tarkin Town. So I've got, you know, the only thing I don't really have are the Lurking TIE Phantoms, but everything else I've got at least one hyperspace of at this point in that deck. So it's actually fairly, you know, hypered out, which is kind of nice. But that's really been it for me. I do really love the hyperspace art, and I do think with the Carbonite boosters and the Carbonite packs, that, you know, there's going to be some chase in there, right? You know, there's going to be some, you know, card art that I'm going to look at and be like, man, I really want to pick up.
Yeah. So I think that's great. I'm glad you brought up hyperspace. So before we even go further, for anyone who's new to the game, right? I think it's very important for you to understand, if you're going from a collector perspective with the card specifically, generally speaking, each card has four different versions. There's like the base card, There's a hyperspace, which is an alternative art card, essentially. There is a foil version of the base card, and then there's a hyperspace foil card. This is like the generic building blocks of like the deck. So there's essentially four of each card. I'm not talking about leaders. I'm not talking about necessarily bases right now, but just like general units and stuff, and upgrades and everything like that. There's all so every set, even though there's only about 250 to 260 cards in each set, there's actually 1,000 different like cards that you could potentially collect. And so Rob talking about hyperspaces, he's like, that's like the harder version to get of like any of the cards, and thus more valuable. And they also look very beautiful, like way more beautiful than like the Black Border cards, because they have this like cool like etching. So yeah, wanted to make sure we're all on the same page, because again, not everyone knows this, or if you do and maybe you need a refresher, I think it's important.
And like certain hyperspace cards, because they're full bleed, they're effectively like the borderless cards, right? They do have that kind of like effect at the corners or at the edges
Jump
for it.
into hyperspace
Yeah,
effect.
jump into hyperspace, exactly. But there's certain card arts that, like, when you see them with the border, they don't jump off the card as much as they do with the hypers. Like there are certain cards that just, like, you go to a full bleed hyperspace, and it's like they go from being, okay, that's a cool looking card, to they are gorgeous cards.
Yeah, I think so too. So if we go on to, so Corey, how about your collection? Now that
Yeah,
I've seen.
well, if we're that's we talked about it. I'm the collector, I'm the overspender maybe, and I want to get all hyperspace for sure. Absolutely want to make a full hyperspace deck if I can. I haven't necessarily bought the hyperspaces specifically yet. I have gotten a few. The Lurking Ties, for some reason, they are hard to get. Like, you don't have any, Rob?
I have
I did go
zero.
buy those. Yeah, I just went bought three of them. I was like, you know what? This card is so cool looking in hyperspace specifically. I just got three of them because they're a really cool card, and there's a couple decks that I can play them in. So I did get those. But as far as like outside of cards go, I don't know if you wanted to mention, like, there's a lot of things with, Star Wars Unlimited specifically, that in TCGs of course, that you can add to create a collection of things and to expand and make the game, more interesting, or more, just more your own or customized. Like, there's the tokens, so
Chase
I got
after
the
them play
tokens.
mats.
Yep, you got the play mats, you got the sleeves. So as far as the state of my collection, it's almost to where I want it to be. I want to get more sleeves. I like dragon sleeves most of the time, but the newer Gamegenic ones that are Star Wars Unlimited specific are really nice, and some of the character ones are pretty cool too. So I would like to get a couple more of those, and I'm hoping to get a couple more mats. Maybe not necessarily buy mats, but maybe win some mats.
So,
But
or go to the prize wall and take some home with
it's
us.
exactly, yeah.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. So there's cards, and most people focus on that. When we talk about hyperspace, we talk about different variants. There's also a bunch of like showcases, as well as like weekly play cards that are unique to only in store stuff. You have to like get those packs from. You can't just buy them like a
Yeah.
regular thing. You mentioned accessories. So there's the sleeves that come out like each set, right? You're talking about like the Ahsoka sleeve, the Obi-Wan sleeve, the there's
Yep.
also the Grievous.
Prior to that, you get Kylo and Rey. Yeah.
And then now they have new ones coming out for the competitions, new sleeves there. I think one's being like another Ahsoka and a Kaplo. No.
It was
Not
one of the
Plo.
new
New
ships
ships.
from set four.
Right. And those are going to be even more rare, because they're not selling those. Those are, you have to like
Right.
go to a competition and like play
Earn them.
games to grind out to get points and tickets to get those. So those are going to be probably, because like the sleeves right now, like they're like $7, right? Sometimes they go on sale at like four, but these are probably going to go for like, I don't know, 50.
You think that? Oh,
I
wow.
mean, is that pretty high? Maybe 30.
Yeah, I was
It
going to
could
say
be.
30 feels about right.
I
30.
definitely, I think over $20 potentially, but yeah, depends on, the fandom out there and how rare these really are, right? If they're going to be con exclusives. We saw the con exclusive cards become very, the market for that was ridiculous, 300%, 400%
Yeah,
markups.
the Vader and Luke leaders for a good long while, the con exclusive ones were like $50 a pop.
Yeah, now they're kind of significantly
Yeah,
dropped.
they're like $10. I actually just picked both of those up recently. They're about $10.
Yeah, I think also. So before we go into con exclusive like cards, I guess, but we'll stick on accessories for a second. But there's actually, like you mentioned, there's competitive. There's like mats you can get for competitive play, right? At Gen Con, they released there was like a top 16 mat that you could get, I think there. But they also have content creator
Finalizer.
mats
Yeah.
that not many people are aware of. But there's
Yeah,
con.
that maximum firepower one's gorgeous.
Yeah, and like there's also the Armorer, which is another exclusive mat to content creators, I think. So and those go for probably a couple $100 potentially. The
At
Champion
least, at
mat,
least. Yeah.
right? For peak planetary qualifiers is something you could collect. I mean, I don't have them. I don't because I feel for especially for that, I feel like you can't just like buy that because it just it's your cop.
No.
It's like you're cheating, not cheating the
If
system,
it
but like.
has champion on it, I can't buy something that has champion on it. If I didn't win it, I
Yeah.
couldn't do it.
But all the other stuff, I mean, I would be
No,
comfortable
for
buying, right?
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think because I and in Europe too, they have their own,
Yeah.
mats as well. So different conventions, they have certain collectible mats that you can earn by placing just like with Gen Con, right? So
Do you think signing one of those mats, like designer signing, increases or decreases value?
that's I think in general it would increase it. But like it's you're gonna have to find someone who's very or more, more of a fan that cares. Because
Yeah.
like if you just have some guy's name on it, it's like, well, I don't know who this person is. It doesn't mean anything, but I know who Darth Vader is. Like, and
Yeah.
so it's like it goes both ways. Because you could have someone who's like, oh, I would love that mat. It's exclusive. I want to buy it, but it's got this some guy's signature. I don't know who it is. Whereas someone's like, oh, I love this. Like that guy designed my card. I love this card, and so it could be both ways. I think there,
Yeah, I feel like
subjective.
getting like artist signs. Like, so in other words, like the artist who did the art for the mat is kind of cool. Like I definitely love the idea of like having the game designers sign the mats as well. Like there's but as to Corey's point, it's a little bit more niche. Like you have to be in the
Yeah.
community and in the like in those group things to like to know who Tyler is. You know, it's like okay, that's cool. Like yeah, he signed the mat, but if you're not playing Swoo, it's just like, yeah, that's some guy who signed this mat. That I guess fine.
Yeah.
Me
Me
Yeah,
personally, I would love it. Like
no, yeah,
I value
exactly.
that
Like
much more than I would a plain one.
I feel like so the artist point is really good. I think getting the artist to sign the card that they designed is really good. I think for me, generally speaking, I think actually signing it decreases the value unless you have all of them. If you get all the signatures, then
Got
it's
to collect
bumped.
them all. Gotta
But
get
if it's
them.
like if it's just like one
Just
of the
some.
design, even if it's just Tyler or Xander, right? I'm not that like they're great guys, but like I think it's either you have everything or nothing. Because like, can you
That's a
imagine
good
having a
point.
champion mat like by itself is like $300 potentially 50, and then if you sign it, like it decreases the value. But then if you get everyone to sign it on the crew, oh, that's a like a you know that's effort, right? I actually so there's also other stuff. That maybe not necessarily accessories outside of game mats and also sleeves, but there's like pins, right? There's like not ex I don't know what do you call that? They're not accessories. They're just like
Swag, baby,
memorabilia,
swag.
swag.
It's not stuff we all get though. It's you gotta really try hard to get that. It's pretty difficult to
I
get those
think
aspect pins.
those aspect pins, I think I saw one for like $60 on like eBay.
Oof.
Yeah, because no one wants to sell them. They want to keep them for themselves. They're trying to get their set, right? And you could only get them at like conventions,
Conventions.
and you
Yeah.
have to wait in line for them or participate in like a panel and like go there and they'll give you like two. You know what I mean? So the
I
pins.
do appreciate though that they are keeping it exclusive and more rare to be giving it to people that are invested in the game,
Yeah.
instead of just being like, oh, here, have some pin, have a pin, have a pin. I feel like they have more value because the effort that you need to put in to get them and the fact that they aren't just handing them out like candy. It's like, oh, here, have a pin. No, we have
Yeah.
to show that we are fans and we want to participate in this community, and then you get that. It
Yeah.
makes it a little bit more special.
Yeah.
And
And we
yeah.
got, I mean, we got the, and with the, we also got those cool lanyards, the kind of exclusive lanyards at PAX this year.
True. I don't know if those have a lot of value. So, okay, so let's talk about like market predictions, I guess. Right? So obviously there's a lot of memorabilia out there. Oh, not even talk. It was a random thing. Not even the the official Star Wars Unlimited floor mat, which stores are selling for $270. I saw it on eBay as well as the one that's in Mythicos. Like $270 for that floor mat. That's buck wild. But it's amazing how much stuff you can actually collect that people probably don't even realize exists.
Yeah, like I bet you the cardboard cutouts, like that they have in the stores too. If people sell those, people are probably going
Oh
out.
yeah, and all the
Oh yeah.
definitely
The big cards.
advertising, right? I was gonna say like all the advertising kits that people get to show off the game, you know,
Yeah.
those are out there as well.
I
How
think
much you want to collect?
I mean I if I could I'd if I had the space and the money, I would buy it all. I know I would too. Anyway, so going into kind of market predictions. Well, let's talk about the same order we did, but like let's maybe we'll talk about market predictions for each of those sections. We'll talk about cards, accessories, and other stuff, memorabilia, swag, I guess. So for cards, market predictions, here's what I mean by that. Like, do you think card prices are stable, or do you think they're going to still heavily fluctuate? Let's start with that question.
I think
So,
they're starting to stabilize.
yeah,
Like that's
I agree.
starting to get to the point where it's like, oh, we can pretty much feel like this is where we're going to be at. There's going to be spikes here and there. And as decks get more popular, you'll see increases and decreases of prices. But as of right now, for the past, a few months at least, it felt like they've been pretty consistent with the pricing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like popular leader showcases are sitting anywhere from like 250 to 300 right now, and that's pretty consistent across the board. Most rares are basically dollar rares for the most part, with the exception of a handful of commonly used ones that are jumping to like 5 to 10. Legendaries are no more than like the really expensive legendaries like Luke are kind of the outliers. Like Luke right now, I don't know if he's still there. I haven't checked recently, but he was like at 60 to 65 at one point recently. But we're not going to see the regular Vader, legendary sitting at over $100. I don't think anytime soon again.
Yeah.
I think most legendaries and most like things you're going to get for about 5 to 15 is where it kind of feels about for most legendaries at this point. So it's not like the value has come down quite a bit. So that's the other kind of thing that I kind of think about in terms of this. It's like, whereas with set one, sometimes it was kind of worth it to gamble, because like if you hit, you saved yourself like $100 easily. Now you buy three packs and you're and you if you don't hit, you're behind the eight ball effectively. So
Yeah.
yeah.
I would say I think that the market is stable as well. I think it's not really going to rise. And I say that because unless they like attract like a lot of like younger demographics to keep the game sustainable, right? Like and like to build the hype for Star Wars and Star Wars Unlimited specifically, like there's no other reason for value to go up, right? I think that's going to be one thing. And I think in terms of market, it's happened for three sets straight. And I think I don't know if it happens in all trading card games, but like the showcases and like the legendaries take significant drops when the next set comes out, generally speaking. So if you're gonna build your collection, like and buy hyperspaces and legendaries, do it after the release of another set, right? Because that way you'll get value there. From their cards, I think the ones that keep the most stable are the hyperspaces and hyperspace foils, because like those are actually the rarest of the pieces, right? So if you're gonna do that as well, I think that's also what I think is important. Not important, but I think that's if we're talking about like if you're trying to retain value in your cards, those are the ones you want to get. And then showcases, like you said, Rob, I think it's a good point. Like we're stable with those. Like the good ones are always gonna go for like a couple $100. Everything else is drops. So like they might go for like $300 like the first week because people have that hype, but once that's gone, it drops to like 200 to 150 range for the duration of that set, and then it drops down below 100, like 120 to like 50,
70. Well,
70,
yeah,
not 50.
I think the cheapest one right now is like Jin, and she's like 65, I think so.
That is
Yeah.
also going to change with carbonite packs.
Yeah, that's that I was about to say.
So.
Like the number, so there's going to be the obviously there's the prestige cards, right? But then the numbered prestige cards, I think those are going to be, like those are going to be
Well,
particularly
to my
money.
point was
Personally,
that
yeah.
showcases are going to be much more
Oh yeah, they're going to be.
consistently
Yeah.
pulled from carbonite packs, so you're gonna probably see a little more. And I don't know, like, we don't know the limited number of print runs they're gonna do for these packs. But they said there's a limited print run of the carbonite packs.
Yeah, so none. So it's really the prestige cards are the ones that are going to retain value, if anything.
Right.
And I think with the prestige, the serialized ones, it's going to be like a J hook. So like 250 is going to go for like maybe, I don't know, like $50 to $100. And then maybe
The
more.
number one is going to
Number
be.
one is that's going to be like the card, because you
Right.
know someone
Well,
out there is
again,
going
it's
to want.
people's favorite numbers too, right? Like, if you have a favorite number within that 250, like, that's people want those as well. Like,
Yeah.
you see that with like Magic
Like
cards that are
number
serialized.
13.
I think it's safe to say it's going to be physically impossible for any one person to get a full like Grandmaster set of like set
Oh
four
man.
or anything with carbonite packs,
Dude,
because they would that require them to
imagine.
buy like every serialized
Right.
card.
Well, like, imagine trying to just get like the same number of all 36 of them as well. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah,
It's like,
yeah.
I want 100. I want number 100 in every single one. Like, that would be insane. I
Yeah.
want to see someone try it.
That, I mean, who knows? I want number four is my favorite number. So if I can collect all the fours,
Let's see,
I
nine
mean,
is my favorite number, so I want all the nines.
single digits,
So
baby.
yeah, there you go. I'll trade you.
So how about, real quickly, market predictions for like accessories and stuff? Do you think they're going to retain value?
I mean,
For the
they're
most part,
not,
though.
they're only going down from retail. I don't see, like,
You mean competition ones like champion for the
I
champion?
think that I think the mats are the one exception. I think the mats, particularly the con exclusive mats and the championship mats and things like that, those are always going to have value because they're just it's artificial scarcity, right? Like there's one championship mat for every PQ that's been, held, and there's only what, like 200 of those. So that means there's only 200 mats. Whereas like the common art mats, a store could get 200. I mean, I definitely have seen, that many on
Yeah. Well,
shelf.
if you can buy it at retail, it's not
It's not gonna
necessarily going to gain value
yeah.
unless
It's
you
the
get
yeah,
the
it's
artist to sign it and the designer
has
sign it or something.
yeah.
But
All right. Basic economics, right? Ooh, actually, going back to cards, how about judge cards? Not the store showdown judge cards, but like
The special
PQ,
judge cards.
the PQ judge cards, as well as the judge program judge cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the exclusive
Program judge cards are
and
interesting. But
yeah.
I don't. I think they'll be a niche for them, but they're not that different. Like, they're not even the judge program ones are not different art. It's just a different frame.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
we'll see
Because right
on
now they're going
that.
for like $100 to $200 per card of that set.
It's the rarity, right? It's
Yeah.
in
They
it's
get
those master set collectors that need to have every version.
gotta find them whales, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. And then how about stuff like pins and stuff like that? Do you think those retain any value?
They always do. I mean, look at like in all honesty, look at Penny Arcade at PAX every year. Like people go crazy for those things. And if again, basic economics, if they're rare, they're gonna hold value. These they're artificially or not artificially, however you want to term it, they're rare. They're rare enough that they're probably gonna hold value.
Fair enough. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, so I think that's pretty much that's a lot of topics for now, but we'll probably do another state of the collection, maybe every set. I think that's important to just get new market analysis and just see where everything is at. Maybe some of our predictions are like wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm curious to see what this looks like, two sets from now or whatnot. So,
Yeah. All right, cool. But before we, well, I guess the last topic we'll talk about is just, as always, new cards. New cards were
yeah,
revealed.
spoiler
So
season,
it is
we're in.
spoiler season. Yeah.
Let's talk about that. So we went to Rob first for collecting. So Corey, what is there a new card that's kind of tickled your fancy?
Well, if we want to do a new one from today. I thought there was a pretty interesting one from today, which is just it's a plain white, just or heroism card. It's 2 cost, 2/2 resistance X-wing. Traits are resistance, vehicle, and fighter. And this, while this unit has a pilot on it, it gets +1/+1. We know there's a bunch of pilots on this, so a 2 cost, it's gonna be a 3/3 plus whatever the pilot gives it. This, I think this card is gonna be pretty interesting in hero decks.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it could end up being a monster, and it's actually going to pair with something I'm about to say. So this wasn't from today, because I thought that I thought in general the cards from today were kind of underwhelming rather. But I think it was yesterday they dropped the Poe Leader, and Poe Leader looks bananas.
So what does it
Do you want me
do?
to explain?
Yeah, what does it do?
So I think he flips on five, but that's not really where the power is. He has an action that is 1 cost, and you flip him and you use him as an upgrade on a ship. Now, I'm not 100%, but I believe that means that once he's killed, he goes back to being your leader, and then he can do it again at some point, some point along the way. Again, being able to just have a reusable upgrade is pretty strong. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think that he's not having like a singular epic action is going to be amazing because you get to just use him over and over and over and over again, which is going to be really, really cool. For my card is the new legendary. One of the new legendaries that was revealed was the Stolen AT Hauler. It's a three
I had a
cost,
feeling you're going to call that one out, so I was like, oh,
three
I want to hear what
cost.
Gil has to say.
Three cost cunning
I didn't
card.
realize that was a legendary. I thought that was just like an
Dude,
uncommon. Dude,
it is
it's really good.
ridiculous.
Think about the stat line. It has a 9 total like stat line for 3 cost.
Yeah.
So just put that perspective, like 6 is already good for 3 cost, but like 9. It's underworld vehicle transport. So Cad Bane deck, I don't know, whatever. Like there's synergies there. When defeated, choose an opponent. For this phase, they may play this unit free from its owner's discard pile for free. That's like weird. Like, what a weird like card to like have.
Yeah, I don't. It's a little
It's
bit
like a
like
much
Stolen
better
Land
the
Speeder.
stolen speed
Yeah,
racer or whatever the one
Stolen
the
Land Speeder.
land speeder.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
but
basically like a way better one of version of those, and for 3 costs initially, but then to play it for free, is it? Are you sure
no.
it's play for free? I didn't think it was
For
play
this
for
phase,
free. For this
they play this
phase.
unit from its owner's discard
First
pile
phase. Okay, yeah. I was
free.
gonna say because the only thing that holds this back is if you can get it to happen when they don't have resources. That's the only way it's like otherwise they're just gonna have it on their end. And so there's definitely risk reward here. And I think that this card is just gonna be bonkers in general. Because it's almost like you're baiting your opponent to like kill it so that they can have it, right? So you're basically soft sentinelling this card out there.
And do you want them to have it? Because like it's like a damage sponge with 5 health, all the indirect damage that's going around the bo that's going all over the place. Like, it's just gonna be a very interesting card. I don't know if I have the brain power to use it, but I'm. You will.
It's if they look, I think it would be like it would be a no-brainer if they had to pay for it, right? Like, so in other words, it's like they can play it, but they got to pay 3 costs. And like paying 3 costs for 4 or 5 is great. Like
Well,
not
then
gonna
you do have
deny
to pay
that.
for it.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay for it. It's free. It says owner's discard pile for free.
Right. Well, you have to, yes. And then that's the issue, right? And that's,
Yeah,
well,
that's
not the issue,
exactly
but
it.
that's
Like, and it's
the.
like, do you really want to give your opponent a 4 or 5? Like, you put it out there, and like against control decks, they're just like, cool, power of the dark side, that's mine now.
Yeah, but then you could defeat it next round anyway, and it comes back to you.
Yeah, but if yeah, but you got to,
It's
but then you got to,
perpetual.
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, it, like maybe I don't know. I gotta see it on the table because
Yeah.
it's definitely weird.
There's a lot of big brain stuff going on with this card. I think you just need to figure out
But
how to.
it's that 3 cost though, like, and that's the thing, right? Because if you're playing it for 3 costs and you're getting 9 stats of
On
that
three, yeah,
on
on turn
three, you
three.
have like the when defeated thing has to be real detrimental to you, the owner of it. Otherwise, there's no reason not to play this card in any, almost any deck. Playing for five even is like in an off aspect. It's like, why not? If I'm getting like five and you're still getting that stat line, is pretty good, right?
Yeah, I
So
mean,
like
to
that's
put
why it
it,
has to be terrible, like for you to, otherwise there's no reason to play.
I don't know though. I mean, like put it in context of like the droid unit, the 4/5 droid unit, exploit two. It's the villainous yellow, and I can't remember the name of it. That's only a four cost, even with the exploit, right? Or without the exploit, rather. So like you're getting something like a turn earlier, but there's like a
That's
really.
huge. Like, do you
It
hit
is
for?
huge. It is huge, but it's a turn earlier, but it's at a pretty big detriment, in my opinion. Because again, particularly that early, like just control's gonna eat that thing, like gonna love seeing that across from you, you know, because you're just like, I've got the solutions.
I mean, that's true.
And that's why it's, I mean, that's why that when defeated's there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you insulate it from when defeated by playing Luke on it or something. I don't know.
There you
Anyway,
go.
okay. So it is late in the evening. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, gentlemen, but this was a great conversation. I'm excited to see where the market goes and see the new cards. So thank you for that. And to everyone else out there, until next time, may the force be with you.